Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. We are so glad you are here with us, and we want to, first of all, invite you to hit that like button and either follow or subscribe. That way, we can continue to bring you more and more content in the future. Well, with today's show, we have a special guest, Dr. Jerry Woodbridge. She is a Christian author, grief advocate, and a lifelong educator with a heart for those navigating loss. Drawing over her 40 years of experience in the classroom and her personal journey through widowhood, Jerry writes to help grieving children and their caregivers rediscover hope and healing. She is the author of Joy Overcame Sorrow, Joy's Journal, that's right, and Trading My Sorrows for the Joy of the Lord. So help me welcome to the show Dr. Jerry Woodbridge. Dr. Jerry, it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, T.S. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
You bet. And hopefully they're going to you guys need to dial in, and if you've ever experienced loss, which everybody's pretty much going to, you know what? She's going to be a great one here to pay attention to because she specializes in this area. So, Dr. Jerry Woodbridge, I want you to do this for us. We need to get an understanding of your story. So, could you just, to help our audience, our listeners here, come out and just talk about your journey and what that looks like, and kind of give our audience a feel just for who you are.
Yes. In 2004, my family lost my husband and my kid's father to the silent killer, colon cancer. He was in the hospital. We took him in the hospital on a Sunday, and he had a surgery on Monday to remove a large tumor. And then we waited for the biopsy results. On Thursday, we were told it was colon cancer. And, you know, of course, we're going, okay, what do we do now? And they're telling us we have to get him well out of the hospital for a month before he could receive any kind of treatment as far as chemo or radiation or anything like that. So we're like, okay. But on Thursday, the cancer had already metastasized, which this was something we didn't know at the time, but it started affecting his kidneys. We tried to put him on dialysis, but the blood pressure is too low, so we couldn't maintain that. So my husband died the next day on Friday with cardiac arrest, basically precipitated from all of this. So it was a shock, and I consider it one of those sudden you know, sudden death. And my kids were in two different places, you know, other people were helping to take care of them. And I had to ask them to bring them to the hospital so I could tell them that their father had died. So at that point, we go through the normal process of where the church responds very well with sympathy. I remember arriving at home with a bag of groceries. I mean, they were all non-perishable because they didn't know when I'd get home. But, you know, that's where the church is very, very helpful. You know, they, right. they bring food, they bring cards. We set up the funeral, you know, all the things that you have to do for planning a funeral.
Right.
And so it's one of those times when you're experiencing grief, you're kind of, you're just trying to get from point A to point Z to get through the process. So after the funeral, I remember my birthday was coming up and I was just like, I was done. Wow. It was like, everybody leave me alone for a little bit and just let me be still. So the first year we, you know, I was very involved in projects, keeping things normal for my family, projects around the house, which ended up being a blessing because of doing those kind of projects. I was able to sell my house when it came time for a cross-country move from Florida to Indiana.
Oh, wow.
And so I tell the story that my first year, I was just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't really dealing with all the grief. Second year, involved in new move, new job. Third year, I couldn't avoid grief anymore.
Sure.
So I started doing a lot of journaling at that time because that's how I process and clarify my feelings. And I was just like, God, I don't know who I am right now because what's a widow? Who's a widow in your eyes? Right. And so through scripture study, I discovered that the Lord is a protector and provider for the widow. He keeps the widow's boundaries intact. So this was a process of me learning who the widow was and that I was going to be okay. As a result of writing in my journal, I was invited by my work that helped sponsor Christian Writing Conference. And so they sent me there. I go home to pack because it was a last minute thing, grab my journals, go to the conference. And this is where this idea was birthed. Oh, as wow. far as sharing other stories. I'd been involved with a small local, it was very informal. We would meet for lunch and we would share our sorrows, but we would also share about what we're encountering in life, from everything from renovation to health issues to, you know, our kids, you know, how do we support our kids? Because at that time I was considered a young widow, you know, an unexpected widow at 42. So these were lessons that I learned and that I applied in that first devotional. Then we go forward and I'm still teaching. I'm teaching everything from fourth and fifth graders virtually to fifth graders back in Florida. And then I make a move to go help my mom to Colorado. And my mom said, just explore. You know, this is your time to explore. What do you want to do? And I said, well, I really think I'd like to write a TEDx speech. So I signed up, got backstage passes for one, you know, was meeting with a group of businesswomen after. And my original topic was how ballroom dancing helped me move through grief. Because, you know, when you're suddenly a widow after having married couple friends, you don't want to be that odd person for a lot of different reasons. So I had to form some new social connections. And that helped me. But when I'm trying to explain to these business women, this is what I wanted to do, they look at me like I have three horns on my head. What, you're 50 something going to dance on the stage? What are you going to do? I'm like, no, look, I've experienced grief, so I understand it. I've helped my students through grief because I'm more attuned to that, what it looks like in the classroom. And they said, oh, well, you should write a children's book. And I'm like, that was not my idea. But I like a challenge. So this is how Joy Overcame Sorrow came about. Oh, and wow. At that time, back in 2019, I had no idea what I didn't know. I didn't know how to write fiction. I didn't know how to write from one person's point of view, especially a child. So this is a book about a 10-year-old little girl who loses her dad suddenly through a car accident. And now she has to deal with her grief. So when I did research out there, I did not find any books that were chapter books, because I usually taught fourth and fifth grade. So that was my comfort level. I didn't find any chapter books that dealt directly with the grief journey.
Sure.
And so I thought, okay, that's time to write the book. And so when I write from Joy's point of view, you know, we write about her life before her dad dies. We write about when she receives the bad news, what her reactions are. And we put it in narrative form. Why? Because children need that. They need to see stories that represent them and their experiences. And by doing that, it's kind of like one level removed. You know, they can see how somebody else is dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Before they have to internalize and figure it out. But I'm on a mission because I've discovered along the way that if we do not help children navigate grief, an experience that they don't have the tools to deal with, then we're going to have students that are not resilient, or adults who are not resilient and still have unresolved grief.
Yep.
So by walking children through the process through a narrative, then they can begin to internalize, say, okay, that's what that looks like. Oh, that's what I've experienced. When my son was 12, he started having panic attacks. He didn't know why, but that's very much a symptom of grief and anxiety. And as a parent who was grieving, I wasn't always observing that he was feeling this way. And sure. So I didn't find out till he was 17. And can you imagine if you're feeling a lot of anxiety, feeling like your heart is racing, you're thinking, well, maybe this is what my dad felt.
Yeah.
You know, so children have a lot of concerns, you know, especially if they lose a parent. Am I going to lose the other one? Yeah. Am I going to forget my parent that I love? So part of the process in the book with Joy Overcame Sorrow was she journaled. Her cousin April gave her a journal to record things that people would say at the funeral about her dad. And then Joy internalized that and said, okay, I'm going to continue to write in the journal. That way I can record the memories I have of him. And that was part of her healing process. So I thought, okay, well, let's produce a journal that goes along with the book. It has book prompts from the book to get them started or get the conversation started between the child and the caregiver, whoever they may be. And then they can work through reading the book as well as the journal to help them process their experience.
Amen. So here's, as I'm listening to you and you're talking about this entire process, obviously, and we, and all of us have suffered loss, of course, and that's just a part of life.
It is.
You know, we, one thing, and I've taught psychology for years, and we have to do, disorders and treatments and therapies and that type of thing. We talk about those. I tell people one of the most common things that you're going to experience, and everybody probably experiences it on some level, that doesn't always mean we need counseling, is PTSD.
Right.
And a situation like this, you know, is a form of that. It doesn't necessarily mean we need to go to, you know, this like massive grief counseling therapy sessions, but we do need to know how to work through a process to deal with that.
Yes,
and so we evolve out of it, you know? And so I like the fact that you do it in narrative, which helps a child, especially, you know, because some children, they're not going to be fact-based. It just doesn't resonate with them like it does in an adult.
Right. So when they told me to write a grief book, I was like, what?
Exactly.
How would I do that? I'm not going to just list a bunch of steps and say, this is what grief looks like. No.
Exactly.
Amen. You have to write it about an experience.
Exactly. And so I'm glad you did that, because that, to me, that just gives people something when their child is struggling, a way to, you know, something that they can take hold of and read and grasp, and a parent can go through it with them to give them that understanding of what it is they're feeling and then how to work through that so it doesn't debilitate them, you know, and doesn't carry over into adulthood. So I like that. For me personally, I think it's really cool. So talk about this, and I think this is a big thing. We've talked a lot about your books, and you talked about the process and how that came, but talk about the role of faith in all of this. I mean, talk about faith, because, you know, this audience, you listeners out there, this is a faith-based audience, you know, a Christian faith-based, and Christ-centered message of the show is,
yes,
you know, is based around that. So maybe talk about how faith for you, and then just how faith plays a role in dealing with and processing loss and, you know, still worshiping and walking with the Lord through that.
Yes. God is big enough to handle all of our questions, to handle all of our emotions, including anger, because I was like, Lord, what are you doing here? I mean, you brought me this person to marry. You said, he is the one, and I married him. And that was who I identified as. But now what are we doing? So,
yeah.
God can handle those big questions, but sometimes he waits for us as we're processing and as we're going through the motions, or we're hitting those speed bumps that are saying, okay, you got to pay attention to this. And, you know, he's just awesome. He's just awesome because, you know, he'll deal with all that. You know, he'll give us comfort. He's the God that provides comfort to us. And so faith is definitely a big piece. I've known the Lord since I was six, I will say personally, since I was six. And he actually saved my life at the time. And I knew this as a six-year-old, you know, and as children, we're very literal. So I knew
Absolutely.
He saved my life. I knew my grandparents' pastor when he came in to pray for me, because I had a tonsillectomy that kind of went wrong, and there was bleeding afterwards and all of that wonderful stuff. So I knew that the Lord had saved my life. And I kept telling the pastor, as soon as he walked in, I said, I need to be baptized. And he said, well, I think we're going to wait a little bit. So he waited 4 years and finally relented and gave in and said, okay, I'll baptize you. And
amen.
So, you know, so I've known him from a child, and I knew that he was faithful. You know, I knew he had my best interest at heart, but, you know, I mean, my children they deal with grief differently.
Yeah.
And everybody's relationship is personal.
That's right.
So, you know, grief can either draw you closer to the Heavenly Father, or, you know, it can kind of seem like we're a little distant from him for a while.
Right.
But I believe that God is faithful and God will always bring them back.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'd like to say, if I may, TS,
yeah,
is that we have a lot of adults out there with unresolved grief that may have experienced loss as a child. So what I have found in promoting the book through social media and things is that, you know, I had someone write to me and say, hey, I need to read that book because I lost a loved one at the age of 8. And that would help process. And even when I was doing my book launch team, you know, I had a member who had just lost her father as an adult. It's okay because they're we're still seeing them, you know, when they're our father, we're still seeing them as a child.
Yes.
So while I say, yes, the original intent was to write for children, I think because it's got the scriptures, it's got the faith component, is for anybody. And so when I shared this with another little girl who was reading over her mom's shoulder, you know, her mom had asked me to send chapter titles to her to see what it was about. And the little girl starts reading over her shoulder and gets to the halfway point and says, stop, I don't want to read anymore. I want to read the book. That was an opportunity for me to say, okay, would your daughter like to review my manuscript and give me some feedback? So she was my target audience. She is fourth grade girl. And so I gave her the opportunity. She came back and she said, after she corrected me on a math lesson, she told me, yes, I think this book would be a good book to help children who have lost loved ones. But I think it's a good book for everybody.
Amen.
And I went, okay. So she became the voice on my book trailer.
Gotcha. Nice.
So nice. So the Lord brought all these things together. And I think as I'm doing different podcasts, he's just showing me this is a real need. Because I'm not selling grief.
No.
Good grief. We all go through it, but I'm not selling that. However, I am trying to explain that love is the footbridge to both sorrow and joy.
Yes. Amen.
It's because we love that we grieve. It's because we love that we have joy and rejoice with people on their milestones, you know, and their birthdays and weddings and things like that. It's because of our love. So the love never goes away. So anybody who thinks that grief goes away, it doesn't. It may fade for a time, and then a grief trigger will pull it back up. My daughter's engaged, and you know, I imagine that when she does get married, that there's going to be a moment of grief there because her dad's not there.
That's right.
So I'm mentally, emotionally preparing for that. And you know, I believe he's looking down from heaven anyway. So, he'll be part of the event. And, you know, he was such an important part of my son's life that now that I have two grandsons, I see my son interacting with them. I can see the reflection of my husband.
Sure. Amen. Amen. So, boy, I hate doing this, but we're going to have to start wrapping up the show. This is such an interesting topic. You know, I think of this not only in terms of people who suffer an immediate loss, but I also think of this, you know, how many people do we have that are in prison that have never dealt, I don't know why this hit me, but have never dealt with their grief.
Yes.
And a lot of the reason they turn to things that gets them in trouble is because they have so many unresolved trauma issues that they haven't dealt with. And, you know, and so that manifests into the level of anger and then a sense of, hey, I'm entitled because of this anger and because of what happened to me, I'm entitled to just do whatever I want, even outside the boundaries of the law. And then they get in trouble. I mean, that's kind of an easy process. So I sometimes wonder about that.
Well, sorrow and suffering is the human experience.
Exactly. Amen.
You know, and I, I love the children's book, Hannah Hunard, Hinds Feet on High Places, because the great shepherd gives much afraid, the one that has a crooked mouth and the limp, and he gives her two companions, sorrow and suffering, because he knows she's going to need help climbing, you know, climbing to the high places.
Amen.
And at first she's like, oh, you know, but gradually over the journey, she learns to embrace their hands and they help her and they get her to the high places. And, you know, the great shepherd gives her a new name and everything. And it's not that the Lord wants us to suffer, but he'll be with us in the suffering.
Yeah. And it does produce character. It definitely does. Absolutely. You come out on the other side, it definitely produces character. And I could walk you through a whole journey that I walked through when my dad died. So I can.
Absolutely.
You know, I could explain that and basically how God really transitioned me, that God was my father.
Yes.
And really me depending upon that. And so there's definitely some stuff I could share with that. But anyway, we are running out of time. And Dr. Jerry Woodbridge, it has been wonderful to have you on the show. So if somebody wants to purchase these books or connect with your organization or whatever that may be, how could they do that?
They can go to drjerrylwoodbridge.com. I just have a website that has been revamped a little bit, so they can find out information there. I've got some grief resources available as well, and I blog, so they can connect with me on my blog. So if they go to Dr. Jerry L. Woodbridge, then put in their email, then they'll constantly be receiving some sources from me.
Amen. Amen. We're going to put all this in the show notes, guys, and this has been great. So unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up today's episode. And again, we thank Dr. Jerry Woodbridge for being here on the show. And again, just as a reminder, make sure that you hit that subscribe and or like button, the like button and the subscribe and follow button, I should say. And you know what? Go to our website. You know, our ministry here, the God Centered Concept, is www.godcenteredconcept.com. And look at, and definitely look at our ministry, consider being a financial partner in our ministry as we continue to expand and grow this. You know, our goal is to reach over 1 billion people. Help us do that. And we're going to eventually take the show on the road. And we've got some amazing surprises that are going to be coming out, not only through the rest of this year, but we got some big things in 2026 that are on the horizon as well. So we just want to thank all of you. And thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And on behalf of myself and Jerry, Dr. Jerry Woodbridge, we just want to thank you for being on today's show. And I am T.S. Wright. And remember this, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. I just want to give our big shout out this week to all the fine people who listen to us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we just want to thank you for your support and all that you do for the Kingdom Crossroads community and for the God Center concept. As you guys have been faithful witnesses and listeners to this program. And we just pray that for your community, we pray over your community and pray that you will continue to not only listen, but to help us spread the word about this message. We thank you so much and have a blessed, blessed week as we pray over you and pray that your community will continue to be blessed and that God will use you to fulfill all his purposes. Thank you again to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We want to give a big shout out this week to Cupertino, California. We want to thank you guys for your support of this ministry and of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We so look forward to an opportunity at some point to come out and visit you guys when we take this podcast and take this show on the road. So again, we thank you for your support and God bless each and every one of you. And we pray that you will continue not only listening to this program, but to also continue to spread the word about the program. Thank you so much, and God bless every one of you.